Let's open our Bibles today to 1 Corinthians 6. I want to talk today about my body, the temple. My body, the temple. As we're starting this campaign of 21 days for breakthrough, you know, we all need breakthrough in our life, and the first breakthrough we need, I believe, is in our own thinking on how we see ourselves and how we see the world around us and how do we fit in. And, you know, what is our relationship with God like? How do we perceive that? And how do we bring it to living an active life that we live down here? And I don't know about you, but I know that sometimes, you know, different things come against us. The enemy tries to attack, and, you know, that's why we need each other. We need to press in and press on. Now, I know that the Lord doesn't live in some old shack, in my opinion. You know, I think He's chosen to live in a temple. You know, and people all over the world have built magnificent edifices, you know, providing places they thought for God to live. But all the while, God didn't really want all those things. He just desires to live in our hearts by faith. And the Bible says our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's a concept that sometimes we so easily forget as we live our life and we're busy and we're doing this and doing that. We forget the concept that, you know, God has come to live inside of us. And we're going to look at that today. So we're going to look at 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and verse 20. Very challenging passage here to some degree. To me, it can kind of knock the slack out of our walk sometimes if we've kind of pulled back a little bit. It says, or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and that you are not your own, for you have been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body. Let's pray. Father, we honor you today. We thank you, Lord, for your anointing to be here that breaks every yoke of bondage upon our lives, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that we're just not here by chance, but Lord, that we know that you have a plan for each of our lives. And Lord, right now, we just want to yield to that plan. We want to do what it is you've called us to do. And Lord, right now we thank you for the Holy Spirit just to move in this service, leading us and guiding us. Draw us closer to you. And I yield to the gift you put in me. I use it for your glory. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Now, contextually, if we want to see this passage, what it's really talking about, it starts over in verse 12. It's really a warning to us about immorality and how that affects our bodies. And it's a sin against the body, it says here now. We're not going to look at it. We're going to narrow our focus today and look at how we are called to be temples of God to dwell. Jesus freaked the Pharisees out when he told them that if you destroy this temple, I will build it up in 3 days. They just didn't get it. Here they were looking at this temple that took years to build. But all the while, Jesus was talking about the body, the temple. And that's the place where God wants to dwell. You know, when Jesus died on the cross and he gave up his spirit, you know, it says the temple veil was rent, meaning ripped in two. And that veil was probably 2 to 3 inches thick. Cloth was just torn in two, and the glory of God was released from the temple, the physical temple that was built in Jerusalem. And when it was released, then it made an opportunity as Jesus Christ became the firstborn of many brethren, and that when we receive salvation, he comes to live inside of us. Now, we as full gospel people believe there's another experience you can have with the baptism with the Holy Spirit, but, you know, that's not what we're talking about today. Every believer has the Holy Spirit living inside of them. And that's what we need to look at. Now, I want to look at a couple structures today in figuring out just what it is when God is telling us about how he's come to live in us and that he looks at us and sees us as a temple. Now, he didn't say, my body, the hotel, did he? Now, how many have probably stayed in some hotels? And how many like to stay in a hotel every now and then? It's nice to be pampered, isn't it? You know, it's nice to have somebody come in and take care of you. Now, what I see is when some Christian views themselves as my body, the hotel, they only see themselves as a part-time Christian. And what I mean by that, most people, unless you're out working during the week and you have to stay out of town, but most people like to go to hotels on the weekends, kind of get away a little bit, get pampered a little bit, maybe sit around the hot tub or whatever the case may be. Maybe go to a spa and have yourself treated. But what I see from this is that if you have the concept as a Christian that it's my body the hotel instead of my body the temple, then your Christianity is only practiced on the weekends. It's not a daily event. And that's something that we need to get by. Because I know when I first started out following God, that's how it was for me. I lived my life during the week, but then on Sundays, I kind of shifted gears. Then I started to do maybe a little bit different thing until I finally got it all figured out. So it took a little process of time. But a lot of times we get hung up on just thinking that, you know, we're just a Sunday Christian. It's talking about, to some degree, convenience Christianity. You know, and what I mean by that is other people do the work for us. When you go to the hotel, the maid makes the bed and cleans the bathrooms and things like that. And, you know, puts your towels out and, you know, maybe tidies up a little bit. And, you know, and that's kind of what it's like for maybe a weekend Christian. That they come and they don't feel like they participate. They just show up and, you know, the food's cooked and, you know, and everything's taken care of. And we see ourselves as more of a spectator rather than a participator. Because I remember when I first started out, I attended a church and, you know, I just went there. You couldn't beat me away with a stick on Sunday. I mean, that's just where I was at. I knew there was something there I needed. And they were preaching the word and the Holy Spirit was moving and, you know, getting all these things. And I was just hungry. But yet I didn't know what to do. I didn't understand the whole concept because I hadn't lived as a Christian. It hadn't been modeled for me in my life for the most part. So it was foreign to me to some degree. So I would just go there and I would show up and, you know, I'd get in there. I wouldn't go too early and I'd have to fight for a seat and then go there. And then as soon as they say amen, I was out the door, man. You know, last thing I wanted to do was really talk to anybody and give away my secrets. You know what I mean? I didn't want nobody to know that I was just a Sunday Christian. So I tried to hide it a little bit. Living in hotels is kind of rough. You know, when we first moved to Denver, I and a few guys, we went out there and we, you know, wanted to get out of Iowa and go do some things and went out there. We stayed for 1 month in a hotel, a motel. It wasn't a nice hotel. It wasn't a high rise. It was a low hotel. It wasn't that bad. And we stayed there for a month. I don't know about you, but four guys in one room for a month. Think about it. You know, that was rough. It wasn't easy. You know, and, you know, that hotel lifestyle, eating out all the time and things like that. And then finally we was able to find a house. But, you know, I applaud those people that have to travel for a living and live out of a suitcase all the time. And when I traveled as an evangelist, it was just something I did. I had a grace for it, but I don't have that grace anymore, it don't feel like. I don't want to do that too bad. So, but it's different. It's different to have that concept. Well, after you get past the hotel concept, then we get the idea, my body, the house. And that's where it starts to get a little realer, our walk with God. And hopefully you're there. And you're maybe even over into the temple phase. But let's say you're just at the house phase. And you want to see our walk as this being a little more permanent than that hotel concept. Maybe you actually are participating more in the things of God. You're maybe reading your Bible every now and then and you're, you know, praying and you're maybe coming to extra services at church and things like this. So you're starting to grow in Christ. And what I see from this is, you know, when I made this decision in my life is that I finally decided that I wanted to settle down with God and build a life. Have you ever decided you want to settle down with somebody and build a life? You know, maybe you've fallen in love and you started that process of where you're, you know, maybe got your first house. You know what that first house is like, right? Sometimes it's not exactly the way you want it, but it's what you can afford right now. So you're in that house and you love somebody and you want to build that life together. So you start thinking about, you know, things with that other person. You know, I think when we're in this part of our relationship with God, you know, we start to shoulder some of that responsibility. No longer are we a baby Christian just going around milk, you know. When a baby cries, you throw a bottle at them, don't you? Or not throw it, you know what I'm saying. You give them a bottle of milk, and that'll quiet them down for a little bit, right? Or maybe they're the other end needs tended to, so you change your diaper, whatever the case may be. You know, but after you're not a baby anymore, you know, I'd be kind of disappointed if some of my kids at their age right now, if they just sat there and cry until they got food for them. You know what I mean? I said, get up and go make something. You know, cook an egg. How hard is it? Boil water. Make some ramen. You know, whatever the case may be. But, you know, you want to get them to that place where they can start to do that. And that's what happens in our relationship with God. God, we've moved beyond the baby phase, and God kind of expects us to mature a little bit in our walk. You know, he wants us to try to see that we can stand on our legs by His grace. I mean, He's there all the time. But He's trying to help us along the way through the process so that we know about Him and we start to learn His ways and we understand the concept of what He's wanting to do down on this earth and how we fit in. But one thing also that we find out when we get our first house, I don't know what yours was like, I know what mine was like. It's a fixer-upper. Our house was a fixer-upper, and we are fixer-uppers. When we first come to Christ, and there's a lot of things in our life that needs to be changed. Now, God just doesn't come in there with a wrecking ball, does He? You know, praise God for that, or we'd all be destroyed. No, God comes in, and He gently starts to rewire us and, you know, changes the way we think and helps us with our actions and things like that. Like, we moved in our first house. You know, first we rented it. We moved back and we'd been on the mission field for 6 months over in Greece, and we was going to have our first child, Kaylee, and then we were staying out with my parents, but, you know, it was time to go, and how many knows what that's like, amen? You know, after you've been out on your own a while, and I know they were probably ready to get rid of us too, if I remember the whole story, and, you know, we found a place. We couldn't find nothing in Albany. Finally, we found this house, and it was terrible. It was terrible. We looked at it, and we walked away, thinking, God has something better for me. 2 weeks later, we signed the agreement. We're going to rent this house. We didn't find anything, but God had a plan. God had a plan. So we lived in that house. We didn't have any carpet. It was one of those, it was old. It was atrocious. No closets, and the flooring and carpet was disgusting. And things like this. So some friends, when we was going to a church, they had some old carpet they ripped out of their house. It was good enough for us. So we laid this carpet down, just pieced it in. This looked like a jigsaw puzzle, you know, in some ways. You know, you've seen little lines here and there, but it was home. It was home. But see, that's what it's like when we come to God. There's so much work that has to be done in our life, but it doesn't happen overnight, but in a process, a little step by step, if we keep going, and then all of a sudden, you know, things just start to come together. And just like us, when we bought that house, I paid $3,500 for my house. I'm ashamed to tell that to people almost. But that's God's blessing. How many can buy a house for $3,500? Some say you get what you pay for. And borderline, it was worth more than $3,500. But it was a Christian lady, and she knew that we were serving God and trying to follow God, and she wanted to be a blessing to us. And then we fixed it up. We put, you know, maybe $30,000 more in the house, build an addition and fix it up. It's not the Taj Mahal, but it's livable. It's livable. I like it. Now, my wife wants to move, but I like it. You know, she wants to get something different, but, you know, it's handy. It's paid for. Ain't nothing better than being paid for. And I've been paid for by God. My house is paid for. I've been bought with a price. And see, God is moving in us, and He looks in us, and He wants to challenge us, and He wants us to step into a little deeper. Even though it may seem like we're a fixer-upper when we start out. I was rough around the edges, but God loved me, and then other people reached out to me. And that's why, you know, I'm where I am today, is because I chose to participate in kingdom business and let God have His way. So we need to tend to our spiritual side of life. What do we mean by that? Well, you start to pay attention a little bit. You know, I encourage people to jot down notes. The Holy Spirit could speak to you during the service. All you need is one thought. One nugget. One nugget might get you where you need to go. Write these things down and meditate on them. You know, read the Word daily. Pray. Hang around Christians. Start to change the way we think and the way we talk so we don't act like the world. You know, we're supposed to live in the world, but we're not supposed to act like the world. So we need to tend to that spiritual side of our life. And, you know, and as we do that, also we need to take care of our emotions and the physical part of our body. You know, we need to take care of ourselves. You know, if you're not physically feeling good, it can have a drain on your emotions. So that's why, you know, we're doing this 21 days of breakthrough. We want to do that. It's just we're going to do spiritual stuff, and we're going to do, you know, physical stuff, and hopefully through connections and building relationships with other people here in the church, it'll take care of some of our emotional needs. Trying to help a spirit, soul, and body to be a part of it. So we want to challenge you in this way just to be a part of that, because we want to see you whole. We want to see God move. Now, one thing about that we forget is the fact that the Holy Spirit's in us, because sometimes we don't feel Him all the time. The Holy Spirit's more than goosebumps. We forget that sometimes, but He is. He's more than goosebumps. And as we endeavor to live our life and to walk with Him, there'll be them premonitions or those leadings, those unctions that come from God, where He's bearing witness with our spirit about a decision we have to make or about something we need to do. I believe this 21-day thing was a witness by God. When God spoke to me about it, I believe people's going to be blessed by that. I believe it with all my heart, because when God gives us an idea, things start to happen. So as we do that, we remember, as God dwells in us, that He's the perfect roommate. Now, I don't know about you, I don't want to go in this too long, but has anybody ever lived with somebody that annoyed them? Not now. Not nobody you're living with now. I don't want to get nobody in trouble. But annoying roommates, my gosh. You know, just the little things. Can't they do the dishes at least once? Leave their cups and glasses everywhere? Make a mess in the bathroom and walk away? Just kind of expect you, because you're conscientious, that you're going to take care of things. Now, we lived with these guys out in Denver. We just had a rule. Once a week on Saturday, we cleaned the house. And it was your turn. You did it. You know, you cleaned. I mean, it was just a perfect system. And we all understood, because none of us really wanted to live like pigs, and that was great. You know, I'm not the cleanest person, but I don't want to live like a pig. So, but the Holy Spirit, as a roommate, He's living inside of us. He's the perfect roommate. Perfect roommate. You know, He comes to live inside us. He connects with us, and he won't force us into anything, but He'll try to lead us. He'll try to guide us. He'll try to steer us. Now, we still have a free will. We don't have to respond, but He doesn't make us and beat us over the head with it. Now, He goes everywhere that we go. And what I think about the Holy Spirit and the relationship that we have with Him these days, it's not just like we're living together, but we're actually in a relationship. We're joined together. That relationship that we have with God, it's not something that can just be, I don't want to do it no more. You know, I'm tired of this. But we're actually in a covenant relationship with God. And we have that meaningful experience of knowing that we can count on somebody. And that's the great thing about it. Now, the next thing I want to see is the idea we're going to get to the temple part. And this is going to hopefully revolutionize the way we see. Now, hopefully you've already known the fact that you've moved beyond the hotel concept and you've got the house thing down, where you know that the Holy Spirit's with us, right? He goes everywhere we go and He hears everything we say. I didn't want to go there yet. Never mind. Forget I said that the Holy Spirit hears everything we say and He's with us everywhere we go. Because that's scary, isn't it? I don't know about you, but that sometimes I forget that part. So that makes me, you know, reevaluate what I'm thinking about and how I live my life. But as we look at the temple part, now the Lord, He could have used a lot of words. He could have stuck with the house. The Holy Spirit's come to dwell, and He chose to live inside of us, and that's all good. But He chose to use the word temple. Now, I don't know about you, but I've seen a few temples in my day. Before I got saved, I backpacked around Europe for about two to three months. And as we went over there, a guy and I did, and then we ended up separating and going our own ways and doing some things just to see some different things. But I had the experience of going into many of the great temples that were built to glorify God around Europe. And they were amazing. Just amazing. About the thought and just how what we consider primitive tools. We have lasers now to keep things straight. They had no lasers. They just used different tools to try to keep things the way they needed to be. But as I looked at those things, it was amazing. But then God wanted us to see that that's what He calls us. We're an amazing structure. We were hand-formed by God. When he made Adam in the Garden of Eden, and he made the first prototype, and then he formed us out of the dust, and he breathed life into us. And then that relationship that we had with him was broken through the sin of Adam when he chose to partake of the fruit with his wife. And then the great lengths that Jesus Christ had to go to get that relationship back, that the only way it could happen is when his blood was shed, because the life in his blood was stronger than the death that lived in our lives. And through that life, we was able to come back and to have that relationship with him. My body is a temple. My body is a place that God has chose to dwell. He doesn't live in buildings like this. The only way God is in this building is if we bring him. If you brought God here, there's the only way that God's here. God the Spirit. Now a shrine, it's kind of like a shrine. You know, shrine's a little bit religious word for me, but I stomach it a little bit. You know, a shrine is a place where people kind of go and they kind of worship something there. But to me, it stands out as that special place. And it's a sacred place. I don't know if you ever looked at your body as a sacred place for God to dwell. You know, sometimes we view our body, sometimes as the world tries to get us to look at it, it's too big, too small, too tall, too short, doesn't have enough whatever, or maybe too much of this. But God sees our body as a sacred. It's a sacred place. It's where he comes to communicate. Because you have your personality that was given to you by God. And then God has given us his spirit that comes to live inside of us. And when them two come together, there is a relationship that is built there that's never been built before. We need to look at the idea that we are a house of worship. God comes to live in us. He wants to worship with us daily. He wants to commune with us. He wants to spend time with us. He wants us to be able to push away from the things of the world and draw nigh to him, draw close to him, and to be able to experience him in a way that we've never experienced before. And that comes when we change the way we look at. We're not some old rundown shack that I spent $3,500 for. But we are a temple that God wants to dwell in. So how much should we tend to our temple? How much should we care for our temple? To make sure that it's a place. What do we do? I don't know about you, but there's things, you know, sad to say, there's things that I would probably do in my own home that I would not do in this house of worship. Is that true? For all of us? Maybe. There's things that you might watch on TV that you wouldn't ever turn that channel here to church. We're all there. I'm just being honest. We're there, ain't we? All of us is probably... would probably answer that question saying, yep, that's me. But we need to change that mindset that this isn't where God hangs out. God hangs out here. God is with us every step of the way. And we not need to glorify him. There's a little children's song many of you probably have sang before. But it says, be careful little eyes what you see. I'm not going to sing it. I'm going to spare you. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Then it goes into be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little feet, where you go. And be careful, little mouth, what you say. It's kind of a cute little song, but boy, there's a lot of truth there about the challenge that God's given us. And, you know, as we endeavor to enjoy that experience, now the good news is God loves us as we are. But the better news is he doesn't want us to stay that way, and he helps us to grow. He wants us to be able to fix up that shack. He wants to make that shack into a great temple so that everybody around. One thing about a temple, you don't build a temple in a cul-de-sac, do you? In a cul-de-sac, a lot of them houses all look alike, don't they? You know, you've been in there, and my sister lives in Kansas City in this one little area, and oh my gosh, if I come in from different directions, I can't find that house for nothing. I mean, one time I'll drive out this road and I'll come back and, oh my goodness, I can't find your house again. You know, they all look alike or a lot similar. And, you know, but one thing about it, when I see a temple, that stands out. And so you stand out in this world because you're a house where God wants to live. In closing, Ephesians 4:30 talks about how we can make a mistake and grieve the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit can be grieved. So even though we're a house where God lives, we know that we can also grieve the Holy Spirit. He won't leave us and walk away from us and give up on us. How many know that when we get mad, we walk away, don't we? Walk away from your friends, somebody you've known for a long time. But God doesn't do that. Now, I'm not saying you can't, you know, lose it all, but that'd be a free will choice of yours. But far as this getting mad, God's not going to walk away from you. He wants to be there for you every step of the way. So as we close today, every head bowed and eye closed, I want to challenge us today as we start looking at our body, the temple. The thing that gets in the way is our flesh. It's the flesh side of our nature, the old nature, that tries to hinder us from really entering into the things of God.